Today we continue our series from Luke's Gospel looking at discipleship, how we are inspired by Jesus to love Jesus more, to trust Jesus more, and to follow Jesus more. So have a listen as you reflect under those headings. I'm reading from Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 33. Jesus is at this time a party that has been thrown by Levi, who was a tax collector and has now become one of his disciples. They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast." He told them this parable. "No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better." The context for our Bible reading today is very important. Jesus is, as I said at the beginning of the reading, at a party. He's at a party that's been organised by Levi. Kind of a work party, really, because Levi has just finished his job. He's just left his job and he's hosting this party. And Levi has accumulated quite a lot of money. And this isn't just a regular party. This is described in verse 29 as a great banquet. And the guest of honour is Levi's new boss. But it's not only his new boss. This is someone who is a mentor and spiritual guide for him. Someone who's helped him to find a completely new way of thinking, a completely new life. Someone who's enabled him to find inner peace, to be able to live with himself, to find forgiveness and inner healing. This is a party for Jesus. Luke tells us it's not that Levi is organising a party and Jesus is one of the guests. This is a party for Jesus. Levi is celebrating Jesus and he's invited all of his old friends. There's a large crowd of tax collectors and others who Levi has invited, and they're not the kind of people that you'd normally expect to see in church. Jesus is spending time with those outside the religious community of his day, spending time with sinners. For more about that, have a listen to our friend's excellent sermon about that earlier this month as part of this series, Jesus, Friend of Sinners. The Pharisees didn't like this. They didn't like that Jesus, a Jewish teacher, was spending time with sinners. You know, the Pharisees were the most religious people of their day. They were fanatical about keeping the Jewish law. They'd identified 631 laws taken from scripture and from the other writings of the day that were considered to be sacred by the Jewish people. 248 positive laws, 365 negative laws, one for each day of the year. No, they didn't apply it like that. But the Pharisees were at best suspicious of Jesus, despite his preaching, which has turned into a national phenomenon, despite his healings of people with sickness, healings of people from disease, from illness, and even from demonic oppression. Jesus has set people free from demonic oppression. And despite a number of miraculous signs that Jesus has performed. But Jesus isn't preaching in accordance with their understanding of the law. Jesus is offering forgiveness for sins for people who trust in him. Jesus is claiming to have divine authority to forgive sins. But the Pharisees did agree with Jesus about the fact that Judaism of their day certainly needed to reform. They accepted that the Jews were too closely intertwined with the Romans, that there's been too much of a compromise. And if you read the history of the time, the history of Herod, Herod was a Roman appointed Jewish leader, but he was a vile celebrity with opulent palaces whilst his people were in poverty. And when he built the lavish temple for the Jews, although the Jews were grateful, to some degree in awe, they knew that Herod would expect something in return. He expected a blind eye to be turned to his private murders, his sex slaves, his greed, his power craving, his gluttony, his debauchery, and his paranoid delusions of grandeur. So had the Pharisees found the man who would lead them to restore the faith? Or could they use some of the momentum that Jesus was building, some of his ideas, to reform the faith themselves? Perhaps that was what they were thinking. We don't fully know their motivation in this specific instance, but for whatever reason, the party disturbs them. So the Pharisees challenge Jesus as to why he and his disciples don't seem to be a bit more serious about the faith. They say John's disciples, this is the Pharisee speaking, often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. They say all your disciples seem to do is party and have fun. Don't you think you should be a bit more serious? Well, certainly one thing, this must have been a memorable party. It's recorded in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. Obviously, for the disciples, a memorable event. But, you know, Christians are allowed to be happy. Yes, of course, Christians are encouraged to fast sometimes. Fasting is good. I've always been blessed when I've gone to the annual day of prayer and fasting organised by Fresh Streams. And at other times, if I've needed to do that or found that helpful. But fasting's a topic for another day. And of course, the Christian life isn't always easy. We need space to grieve. We can do that within our faith. We need to permit one another to lament, to cry out to God when times are tough. There's also space for that. Lots of space for that in the Bible and in the Christian faith. We bring all our emotions to God. But Christians are allowed to be happy too. Nicky Gumbel, when he was thinking about being a Christian, didn't think that happiness was going to be part of the deal. He wrote the Alpha Course. Nicky writes this. In my first year at university, aged 18, I'd read the entire New Testament in a week, from Matthew to Revelation, and become convinced it is true. But I was reluctant to follow Jesus, as I thought my life would be very dull and that I would have to give up all enjoyment. In fact, it was the exact opposite. I found something even better than happiness. Nicky goes on to reflect that we all want to live happy lives. Happiness, wrote Aristotle, is the meaning and purpose of life, the whole aim and the end of human existence. But Nicky goes on to argue, there is something even better, greater and deeper than happiness. Happiness is dependent on what happens, our circumstances. Joy is far deeper and is not so dependent on our outward circumstances. It is a blessing from God. C.S. Lewis was a professor at Oxford. He also expected to be miserable when he became a Christian, if he was to choose to become a Christian. He writes that when he finally conceded that God was God, he describes himself as the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of Christendom. but he too went on to find great joy in faith. He wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. And he went on to write many more excellent books about the Christian faith. And what I want to say today is that the Christian life is a radically different way of life. It's a passionate life of faith. And after Easter, I'm going to ask you, if you'll tell me from the series so far, what has inspired you to love Jesus more? What has inspired you to trust Jesus more? And what has inspired you to follow Jesus more? And so we can share that with one another and what we've all learned. So here are a few points from today, from today's passage that have inspired me as I've reflected on this passage under those headings. Perhaps they might inspire you too. Firstly, Jesus is worth having a party about. Jesus describes himself as the bridegroom at the wedding. Jesus accepted exuberant and lavish praise when it was offered to him, but still remained completely humble whilst accepting praise of a grateful heart. Whether it was the praise of a woman with an expensive jar of perfume, someone who'd found freedom and joy in him. From children, he accepted praise, or from people waving palms. But Jesus remained humble. Praise to God, praise to the divine, is the end purpose of thanksgiving. C.S. Lewis said that praise is the consummation of joy. Maybe like me, you've started with thanksgiving as you've looked at creation and turned it into praise as you've given thanks and praise to God, its creator. And if we focus our joy on Jesus, we won't go far wrong. Jesus referred to his coming being like a wedding. Jewish weddings lasted a week, great times of joy and celebration. The Pharisees lived hypocritical lives of shallow penance, pretending to be miserable and pious all the time. Jesus is saying, I came to make life like a wedding feast, not like a funeral. As one of the commentators points it. So that's point one. Jesus is worth having a party about. Point two. Salvation is worth having a party about. We read in Luke 15 verse 10 that there is a party in heaven when one sinner comes to repentance. That's the parable of the lost coin. It's in the same section as the parable of the prodigal son. Levi had come to faith. Someone coming to faith is a big deal. They've crossed from darkness to light, from death to life, from hell to heaven. They're going to be in the kingdom of God forever. They're going to be joining the people of God in the presence of God. They've been adopted into the family of God. If you're a Christian, this person is now your new family member. It's worthy of a big party. That's point two. Salvation is worth having a party about. Point three. Christians are supposed to have parties and be at parties. It's okay to be happy if you're a Christian. Yes, there will be times of difficulty, and we know something of that today in times of coronavirus, times of grieving and mourning and loss, disappointment and sadness. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, it says that there are times to weep. But there are also times to laugh and dance, times to love and times to embrace. We criticise the Pharisees, but we perhaps should also be careful, we who trace our Reformation back to the Puritanical times. The Jews had religious festivals, at least, to built into their calendars, times to party and celebrate together. Jesus affirmed those festivals and went to them. Christians were never supposed to be dour and miserable. We know that the best is to come. Heaven is coming to earth, but heaven is also breaking through today to earth, bringing joy. Christians can be at parties too. As Arwen said a couple of weeks ago, take care that you don't fall into sin yourself. But go to parties, celebrate with people, share their joys, share their journeys. People assume that a Christian at a party would have to sin to have fun, but that's not true. Christians are those living life in all of its fullness, secure in the knowledge that they're dearly loved by their Heavenly Father. Christians are those who found the pearl of great value. So celebration and joy is the default Christian disposition. Partying is good. That's point three. And then point four about this new wine. What's this all about? Well, the Pharisees don't get it. They don't see that it's about Jesus himself. All they can see is which laws are being followed and which laws are being broken. They'd already run out of fingers and toes to see how many rules Jesus was breaking at this party. But Jesus is not saying that he's come to reform Judaism. He's not going to be able to help them with that. He's not here to call people back to the law. Jesus is here as God incarnate to announce a new covenant of forgiveness in his blood, a new era of faith. His blood, his life will be the bedrock of that faith. He is the resurrection and the life. And he is here to announce the impending arrival of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Life for the people of God is about to change forever. Jesus talks about how his kingdom is like a new garment, not like a patch to stick on an old one. They can't take the parts of his teaching that they like and use it to reform Judaism. It's not going to work. Equally, we can't pick and mix parts of Christianity that we like and mix them into a New Age spirituality. That also would be a poor representation of Christianity, like a torn garment. And it's not going to help the old garment either. As soon as it's washed or after time, the new patch will rip away. It won't work for long. And Jesus gives another example to explain the same thing. It's like putting new wine in an old wineskin. The problem with doing that is that the new wine is still fermenting. It needs a flexible new wineskin. So don't take from this that I'm saying that we need to change the gospel, change the message of the Bible, change anything to do with the Bible. The message stays the same. It's the medium that we need to change to reach the culture. We need the vehicle, the medium of transmission, to be relevant to the culture or subculture that we're speaking into. The message itself is the same for all times, all cultures and all peoples. Medium and the message. So back to the new wine in the old wineskin. If you put the new wine still fermenting in the old, brittle, inflexible wineskin, eventually it will split. The wine is spilt and useless. The new wine is tragically lost. The wineskin is ruined too. And we need to take all that Jesus is, all that Jesus means, all that Jesus said, the teaching, the message, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the new life that Jesus brings all depend on accepting that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins to set us free and reconcile us to God. This is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So be inspired by Jesus. Receive his new wine. Make yourself a new wineskin to receive him. And I pray that whilst we live in times when there is hardship and suffering, difficulty and pain, I'm not belittling that, I pray that you would know today and forever the joy of knowing Jesus. I want to pray for you. Maybe you feel that you've lost the joy of your salvation. or maybe you feel that you're resorting to religion. Let's just pray about those two things now. Oh God, I pray, as David prayed in the Psalms, that you would restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, for the times when maybe we have relied on religion, maybe that kind of thinking of justifying ourselves through religious observance has crept back into our spirituality, Lord, we repent of that. Lord, we don't want religion. We want faith in you. Thank you that your love brings freedom as we follow the laws that you've given us, that you created us to follow, that will lead us into life in all of its fullness, whatever the cost. Amen. And I want to pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you would know the love of Jesus. Let me just pray that just as we finish. So, Lord God, fill us, we pray, with the Holy Spirit that you offer us. Fill us, Lord, with the joy of our salvation. And I pray, Lord, that as we ourselves are renewed, as we, as new wineskins to receive the new wine of the Holy Spirit, are filled by your Holy Spirit, I pray that out of the overflow, the genuine overflow of our love and through our lives, that others too would come to know Jesus, to know love, to know the truth that will set them free. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name and for his glory.